And everybody's like, no, you can't get in. It costs too much. It's already booked. So he said, hey, come. I said to his daughter, he said, let's just go. Oh, they left messages for York Fairground. Nothing bad. But they didn't return the phone call. Left three messages, didn't return the phone call. So he says, well, let's just go down and knock on their door. Anybody like that? A little tenacious? Sometimes you got to be like that. So they went on, knocked at the door at York Fairground, and a particular woman, I was saying a nice Pastor D, was not so nice to them. But a gentleman in the offices overheard it, and he comes and he goes, hey, come on into my office. What's this I hear about you? And they said, well, we're the York Gospel Choir. And they didn't say, well, Jesus spoke to me. You know, sometimes you just maneuver in the world. He says, we just really would like to put a concert on. He says, you can have, what's the building here? The Expo Set Memorial Hall for free, and we'll set up all the chairs for you. Yeah. God does big things. Sometimes you have to make some things happen. You go step out on the things he said. So if you like the gospel choir, go check it out. Bring somebody. So it's December 14th, 3 o'clock to 4:30. I will have some of these made next week, but if not, there we go. Praise God. That's just a good praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So today is December 1st. Tomorrow's Pastor Sherry's birthday. Just saying. There's 24 more days to go Christmas shopping. And yeah, haven't done nothing. Nothing. Let me think what else I could tell you. It is, 30 days till 2020. Everybody say 2020. 2020. It's not your vision. It's the next coming year. 2020. And today, what I want to talk about is how to close out this year really well so that you can have a great start in 2020. How to close out this year. Now, at YCF, this, by faith, I go, it's the most wonderful time of the year, because we are closing books out. It's the most wonderful time. Okay, favorite time of year, yeah. But I'm not talking about that, because that'll happen. But how can we close out this year and get a head start on 2020? That's what I want to talk about. Some of you are like, big deal. Oh, no, it's a big deal. So, turn over to Philippians 3:13. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you that we have had just a wonderful time to give you worship, and because you are worthy, you're the one that's worthy of all praise. And I thank you, Father, that you have already spoken words that are going to go into hearts today, that are going to help us in the great things you have prepared for us for 2020. I thank you, Father, that we are grabbing hold and for just revealing, you reveal, and we'll just grab hold of that in Jesus' name. Amen. So y'all at Philippians 3:13, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. If you don't have an Amplified, just kind of follow along. Ready? Brothers and sisters, he's writing to Christians. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own yet. This is the Apostle Paul. He's pretty awesome. And he's saying, I don't feel like I've made it yet on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Everybody said, reach forward. All right. Reach forward. So he's telling you, and I'm going to take it this way. I can let go of last year, and I am going to reach forward to 2020. All right. Now, maybe you all had just a wonderful year last year in 2019. I did. I have another grandbaby and we did this. Maybe you got a promotion. Maybe you got a raise. Maybe you went on your dream vacation. So those are good. But, you know, I had a few things last year. Not so good. Anybody have a few things last year? Not so good. Okay. But I will say I had some things that were good. Anybody have some things that were good last year? You all had a poopy year, huh? Gosh, just looking. Sorry. Things you have. This is what you say when you have little grandchildren, right? Things like that. Anyway, but Paul is saying here that I can forget some of those things. All right. Now, the interesting thing when you read that is that you will have to take some effort to forget. You will have to take some effort to forget. Okay, now the word forget, that, by the way, the New Testament was originally written in the Greek. Okay, and that word forget, listen to this, it means to lose it out of your mind. Forget means to lose it out of your mind. Now, not too long ago, this just happens, and it's not because I'm so young, but I was walking out of a mall, and I was like, oh my gosh, where did I park my car? So I got that key fob, bideep, 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 until I found it. And I was over there. Paul's not talking about that. That just kind of sometimes, not so often, hope, automatically happens. But he's talking about you have to purposely put some stuff, like some stuff maybe that happened in 2019, out of your mind. Okay? Put it out of your mind. So if I put something out of my mind, if I, you know, work at it and I don't allow it to dominate me, some of the from last year, if I don't allow it to dominate me, then I can have a better 2020. All right. I'm going someplace with this. Now, if you're taking notes, write this down. Super profound. Yeah, right. Write this down. Ready? If you want 2020, which is 30 days from now, you have to do something different. If you want 2020 to be better than what's behind you, you have to do something different. Pastor D, come on. No, you'll get it. You know, what do they say? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and over and expecting something different. 2019, if it was not so good, if you want to have something better in 2020, you're going to have to do some things different. Okay? So, praise God. If you're like this, okay, this is typical Pastor D. If you're like this and you go, well, you know, I never read my Bible. Well, I just might want to encourage you to have better 2020 and get up and read your Bible every day. If you're like, I never pray. Are you kidding me? Well, I just might have a better 2020 if you get up every day and pray. And how about not the, oh God, I'm in a mess. You got to help me out. I'm not talking about that. And prayer is not, you know, I came out of a real religious background and they printed out the prayers. Prayers is just your guts talking. Okay? Just go in and talk to him and then be quiet. Because he loves to talk back. So just maybe if you start praying, getting up, go, okay, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go in and talk to my God, my Father. You might have a better 2020, all right? So, and I have to be really honest, there have been times occasionally, yeah, where it just feels hard to pray. It just feels dry. But you know what? I'm going to do it. I remember this is probably about 5 years ago, I was introduced to this trainer, and she was actually older than me, and she was ripped. Just like, what? Okay, were you born that way? So I said to her, hey, do you get up every day and you just get excited to go work out? And she said no. And she quoted Arnold Schwarzenegger. So you know she's my age because some of you youngins are like, who's he? But this is what he said, and she quoted it. If you push through the days you don't feel like working out, those will become some of your greatest gains. So there are days I don't feel like nothing. If we have a day, especially on a day like today, this can just do havoc. But you get up and you just don't feel like praying. You just don't feel like talking to God. Those are the days. If you will push through that, I will tell you I have had some of my greatest gains, greatest days, because I just pushed through it. And then all of a sudden, whoa, I'm hearing God. I'm in his presence. And sometimes I finished that whole shabam thing. Didn't feel like it did anything. But as the day went on, it was good. By the way, Thanksgiving was at my house at 6 p.m. It takes me all day to do that. And Sherry even came over the night before and made pies. But you know what I did first? Got up at my normal time. I thought, I need to just get into the presence of my Father. And for the most part, I was pretty sweet. That last 20 minutes got a little la, la, la. But if I had not done that, amen. Just want to tell you, why should you read your Bible? Okay, so if you want 2020 to be different than 2019, you might have to, everybody say, do it different. You might have to do it different. So write this down. What do you need to do to be a better version of you in 2020? Like, what do you need to do to be better for 2020? Your spouse is not allowed to tell you. They can tell you, like, you need to do this. Okay. Some of you are like, oh, Pastor, this is boring. No, no, no. If you're going to have a better 2020, how about you might have to spend more time in the Word of God, listening, okay? If you want to have a better 2020, you just might have to spend time praying and talking to the Lord, okay? If you want a better 2020, you might have to be in church more often because it's good stuff. If you want to have a better 20, I'm just saying, how about you get in a grow group? If you want to have a better 2020, how about you serve someplace instead of waiting for everybody to serve you? If you want to have a better 2020, you might have to do different. Right? Amen. Good preaching, Pastor D. Amen, amen. Okay, moving right along. I'm going to shift gears a little bit. Okay, if you've been in a church a long time, you know Jesus said this. But really, when I wasn't in a church for a long time, I thought my grandmother wrote this. Okay, anybody hear of the golden rule? Okay, I thought my grandma, that was her thing. Okay, but really Jesus, and he said the golden rule, Jesus said, treat others the way you want to be treated. It's not a mom thing. It's not a grandma thing. Jesus said that, and I'll give you a scripture on it, but treat others the way you want to be treated, okay? So we're coming into 2020. All right, I'm going to stretch you. Just go with it. If you want to have a better 2020, how about you start treating others the way you want to be treated? Because you will have a better 2020. Okay, if you want to have 2020 better, how about the golden rule, treat others the way you want to be treated, okay? Praise God. Pastor D, this is so much fun. How about you want your marriage to be different? You might have to treat that spouse differently, better, okay? Just you might have a better marriage, all righty? Well, she never treats me nice. She's just always grouchy and snapping at me. Guys, the Bible says that men, husbands, it is their responsibility to initiate being nice. And it says it'll kind of reciprocate into your life from your wife. Bill Winston would say, don't shoot the messenger. Just giving it out, okay? I love that guy. All right, so moving on. Open up to Matthew. This is like really the golden rule. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. So then, whenever you desire that others would do to you and for you, even so also to and for them. Even so do also to and for them, for this sums up the law of the prophets. Okay, let me take it down to the Message Bible. This just kicks dust up. Here we go. Here's a simple rule of thumb guide for behavior. Ask yourselves what you want people to do for you. Sound like the golden rule? All right, then grab the initiative, nice word, right? And do it for them. All right, I'm going to say it one more time and give you an opportunity to say, praise God. Ready? Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. Praise God, that's good golden rule stuff, okay? So if you're here and you're like, I am so tired the way people treat me at work. They just don't, meh, meh, meh. Or guess what? Then maybe this is what it's saying. It's not a maybe. Then maybe, you know, no maybes. Then you need to treat them differently. then you need to treat others differently. And sometimes you just can't do it specifically, but hey, you treat others differently and you will have different treatment come back to you. I don't know, Pastor D. Well, let me just say that if you don't, and you're this nasty, cranky, grouchy, mean old whatever all the time, this is telling me that's what you're going to get back. That's what you're going to get back. Well, that doesn't apply to me. No, it does. Yes, it does. It applies to everybody. How you treat. Okay, so if you want people to treat you nice, it's saying you go out and go start treating people nice. Amen? Good preaching. Okay, let me give you a quote. This is just going to kick you a little over the next hurdle. Ready? Deeply loved people will eventually deeply love people. Deeply loved people will eventually deeply love people. Well, I don't deeply love nobody. Then you don't know how deeply God loves you. That he gave his only son for you. That's pretty deep. Well, I just don't want to deeply love nobody. You don't understand how deeply God loves you. And plus, if you've received Jesus, he has dumped that love. The love of God is shed abroad in your hearts, okay? He's got that in you. So you can be one of those deeply loved people will deeply love people. Praise God, Pastor D. Listen, I'm just getting you ready. If you sail through Thanksgiving, I'm getting you ready for Christmas because you get an opportunity to do this. All right, so we just went over two scriptures. First one is how you treat others. That's the way you're going to have people treat you. Okay, the second one is, hey, last year is almost over. Praise God, I'm done with it. I'm pressing forward. I'm going to have a better year. So we went over those two scriptures. Now, that was just laying the groundwork to where we're going to go. Praise God. So what I really want to do is I want to talk to you about how we want people to treat us. How we want people to treat us. Okay? How we want people to treat us. Because let's just suppose, because the golden rule, how I want people to treat me is how I'm going to treat others. But how about, you know, this one person, they're just lying always, just lying about me all the time. Well, maybe you're walking around lying about everybody all the time. And that's the way it's going to be. Awesome preaching, Pastor D. So, how you want people to treat you is how you ought to be treating people. All right? Praise God. Okay, moving on. So, giving you, I'm going to do it really fast. Amen. Five things on how we want people to treat us. Five things on how we want people to be toward us. Okay? Praise God. Here we go. Because in turn, the way we treat people will be the way people treat us. The way we treat people, hey, this is what it says, will be the way people treat us. So here's your first one. Ready? Number one, you want others to have mercy on you. Mercy on you. Okay, listen, I want people to have mercy on me, all right? So when we want to treat other people and be merciful to them. Okay, what's mercy? Here we go. You do not deserve the treatment I'm going to give you, but I will show you mercy. And that is God in a nutshell. We did not deserve such a great salvation. You didn't deserve it. You're pitiful. It's pitiful. Okay? But he had mercy and gave us mercy. So some days you're like, they don't deserve it. Hey, just go back to, you didn't deserve it. God gave mercy. Praise God. So we're going to show mercy to people. But people are messy. People are mean. People are just bad sometimes. And I'm like, I'm done with them. Anybody? Don't raise your hand. I'm done with them. Okay? I'm done with them. But this is saying you need to show people mercy because in return, you're going to get mercy. And you are not a perfect person. And maybe by the time the day's over, you're going to need some mercy. Praise God. So turn over to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. If you've been in church for a while, this is all good scripture. Everybody likes to tack on at the offering time. Okay, Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken over, and what's the last part? Over and will be picked up into your bosom, but just given unto you. So we like that scripture. Okay, just give and it'll be given unto you. All right, but listen, there are two really important verses right above that talk about mercy. So let's pop up to verse 36. Jesus says this, therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. 37, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And then we go to the next part. Give, and it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken forward, running over. Okay, so praise the Lord. You know, the part about money that people always say, hey, if you give your money, it'll be given unto you. That scripture's not really talking about that. It's not talking about money in church. But, everybody say, but, it is a principle of God. But you know what it is talking about? Being merciful. Not judging. Not condemning. And forgiving. That's what it's really all about. That's what it's all about. And he's saying, if you do all of that, guess what's going to come back? Mercy. Someone's not going to be condemning you and forget, you know, they'll be forgiving you, all right? So let me give you one more. Matthew 5:7. Matthew 5:7. Just in case you're not dancing around this mercy thing. Matthew 5:7. God blesses those who are what? Merciful. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Woo! All right, so Jesus is saying, people who show mercy, my God, my Father God will bless them. I had a dear friend that totally muffed up, did all the big, bad, and the dirty. They were believers, and they just muffed up. They got off course, and they said they were laying on their sofa, and they said, just felt like an audible voice, because you have shown mercy, I will be merciful for you. And I watched this person's life that they really goofed up bad. I watched just the mercy of God and their life just get back where it was supposed to be. So I think it's a good deal, guys, to show mercy, because you just might need mercy. Amen? All right. Praise God. Let's do number two. Let's keep moving. You want others to have compassion on you. How many of you want people to be compassionate to you? Yeah, I do. Praise God. All right. Guess what you have to do? You have to sow compassion. You have to give compassion. All right. Matthew 9:36 says, but when he saw the multitude, Jesus was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Okay. Do you know what the word compassion means? It doesn't mean pity. Here we go. Compassion. With suffering, to yearn for or towards others. Okay? To be moved on the inward out. Compassion. Compassion. Guess what? Compassion's not a formula. Compassion's something that's in your heart. So when you're compassionate, you are moved from the inside to treat, to say, to do something, to do some act of compassion. Not because they deserved it. It is just something that just pulls out of you to be compassionate, all right? So if you want compassion given to you, guess what you got to do? You got to sow compassion, okay? I have had to work at that. Uh-huh. I have some kids that are really good at that. I have had to, and I'm getting victory on that. Just going, God, I'm not chucking them off. You have put your love and compassion. I am going to take this opportunity to be compassionate. I'm getting better. Amen. Praise God, Pastor D. Keep doing it. How about we have a church, YCF, that's full of compassion, right? How about We're compassionate to one another. How about somebody walks in here, and we've had this happen, and you know they got issues. They look at issues. They got smell like issues. And we're like, hey, you're at the wrong church. You should go someplace else. No, how about we have compassion towards them? How about the same way that Jesus would? Listen, Jesus wrote the book on compassion. That's why you can say I'm a believer today. All right, so moving on. Here you go. Number three. Y'all, and I'm not going to get myself in trouble. Okay, Pastor D, reel it in. Okay, y'all want understand. You all want to be understood. I just want to be understood. Anybody ever say that? They just don't understand me. Nobody understands me. My husband doesn't understand me. The husbands are going, my wife doesn't understand me. Okay, so if you're making statements like that, I wonder what you've been sowing. I wonder what you've been given. And now that I am such a young 65 and a half years old, do you know what I've caught myself really in the last decade? I think I'm growing up. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. I run into people because this is pastors. This is what I do. But people come in and they have done dumb, messed up. And you know what I've caught myself in the last 10 years? I'll say, I understand why they did that. I get it. Still wrong, but I have this compassion and an understanding. I have opened my eyes to understand. And guess what? I hope you all understand me, right? Okay, so you don't have to be 65 to finally get that, Brady. Here we go. Write this down. This is a quote, and I love when they say unknown. I have to tell who did it. Okay, unquote. Love seeks to understand rather than be understood. Jesus comes to live inside of you. The love of God comes to live inside of you. So you seek not just, I want them to understand me. No, I am looking to understand people. That's what love does. I'm just going to look to understand them, all right? So instead of saying, better yet, let's do positive. So you're looking around and you see somebody in their life or they tell you some things. I just want to, God, give me understanding what's going on. Instead of, well, you need to, especially husband and wives. Well, you need to understand me. No, you need to understand me. No, just bag it so you can have a better marriage and say, I am trying to understand them. And who cares if they don't get me? Because the golden rule, if I sow understanding, I'll get it. Okay. Praise God. Definitely in a marriage. They never understand me. They probably never will. Praise God. But if you seek to understand that other person, guess what? You're going to be sowing seed and you will have understanding. Amen. Praise God. Moving on. Number four. Ready? Real quick. You want people to forgive you. You want people to forgive you. You want others to forgive you. Okay. Anybody want to be forgiven? Okay. Amen. But again, guys, people do bad things. And then we're Christians and we see people that have done bad things and we're like, God loves you. Jesus loves you. I'm going to pray for you. Okay. But how many of you know the world doesn't do that? No, they'll chew you up, spit you out, stomp on you, put you on Instagram for a whole week, and then your dumb thing that you did is on People magazine. Yeah. Uh-huh. And they don't forgive. Okay? But listen, if we allow that in the church, we're a mess. We're in trouble. Okay, and you're not, okay, be nice, Pastor D. Okay, so we all want people to forgive us, so we have to forgive others. Amen, forgive. All right, let me give you a good scripture, Matthew 6:14. But Jesus knew their thoughts and, oh no, that's not Matthew 6, where is it? Keep flipping D. There we go. If you forgive those who, this is Jesus. Love it. This is like he nails you. Just get ready to go, bam, bam, on the cross. Okay, ready? If you forgive those who sin against you, yay, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive you. He's not mincing words. It's real simple. Guess what you need to do? You need to forgive other people. Now, let me show you what happens when you don't forgive. Okay? Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. This is what happens when you refuse to forgive. Hebrews 12, 15. Look carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. By the way, you don't want to do that. Lest any root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. And by this, many become defiled. Okay, that's King James. Let me read this out of the New Living. Look after each other so that none of you falls to receive God's grace. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you and corrupting many. Okay? Another translation says, poisons the whole community. Alrighty, so. You don't forgive, you are going to get bitter. Been there, done it, watched it. Okay? People that just bitter. Okay? And then your bitter poo-poo ends up by spitting out on other people. That's what he's saying. When you don't forgive, you will get deep bitterness. And it just pollutes a whole community. All right? So I can't tell you how many times I've had people come into the office and, I kind of know what's going on, but they come into the office, Pastor D, I need to talk to you. And they'll say, so-and-so did such and such to me. I just can't forgive them. And I'm like, you don't understand. I understand. You don't understand. Matter of fact, there's this one time this woman came in and she had a notebook, thick. And she had written down everything about her spouse, her husband, that she was ticked off at and dated it. Okay, I believe in journaling around here. You read your Bible and you journal what God speaks to you and how you're acting on it. But that is not what you do, boys and girls. Okay? And she was just like, wah, wah. So I listened briefly and I said, whoa. But you don't understand, Pastor D. I can't forgive them. And then she's flipping pages again. I'm like, whoa, give me that book. And, you know, really, best thing, none of you do that, but if you knew somebody that would do that, this is what I would tell you. You go home on that next page and you write, forgive them. And you throw that in the bonfire. All right? Because if you want your next year to look better than your last year, you are going to have to forgive them and have a better year. All right? Amen. Praise God. Because you know what that person was doing? It was really funny. They had a journal and they were just waiting just to shoot up the person that they were upset about. I was like, am I on that page? All right? So get rid of it. Get rid of it. All right? Come on, we want to have a better 2020. Just forgive, let it go. Amen. Praise God. Last one, here we go. You want others to help you. Pastor D, do you really have a scripture about that? Yes, I do. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. Here we go. Proverbs 3, verse 27. Proverbs 3, 27. Has to do with help. Because, listen, I want help. Praise God. You're going to give help and get help. Proverbs 3:27. Do not withhold goods from those who deserve it. When it's in your power to what? Help them. Okay? If you can, help your neighbor now. Don't say, come back tomorrow, then maybe I'll think about it. Okay? So here's what he's saying. If you give help, you will have help come back. Praise God. Help, 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 help. God must have heard me on Saturday. I need help. Okay. Now, I will say about help. Don't be the person that's always asking everybody for help. Hey, can you help me? You call your buddies up all the time. Hey, I need help. And then you don't help them. That's not what it's talking about. But we want help, all right? Help and from practical things to spiritual things and prayer things, we want help. But you have to also give it so it'll come back. Amen. Quick review. Here we go. Pastor D, you're just doing awesome today. You want to have mercy, so you're going to have to sow mercy. You want people to be compassionate to you, so you're going to give compassion. You want people to understand you. Well, you're going to start and just understand people, okay? You want to be forgiven all the time. I mean, I totally goofed up. You want to be forgiven, then you're going to forgive others. Amen. What are we on now? Oh, help. Help. If you want others to help you, you're going to help others. All right. Closing up. And this is not just one person, there may be a couple of you, but anybody have 2019 where you just messed up, like big time messed up? Sometimes it happens, okay? And maybe that was you. You just had a big mess up. Big thing blew up, messed up, you did it, okay? And you got this thought that's always in your brain. Well, then God's finished with me. God's done with me. That's it, because, you know, I just messed up. Romans chapter 11, I can't remember what verse it is. No. God is never done with you. That's what I love about God. That's what I read in scriptures. He is never done because you've messed up. Anybody ever mess up? Anybody mess up big time? Okay. God, Romans 11 says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And a better way we would say it is the gifts that God has given you, the callings that God has given you, he gives to you, but he does not take them back. They're yours. Everybody just hold them. They're yours, even if you mess up, okay? And I believe there's some of you, you've messed up and you're sitting on gifts and calls and things that only God put inside of you because you're thinking, you know, I messed up. You should see. God already knows, okay? And he's saying, it's time to get up. It's time to get up. Let's finish this year up. Let's just get up and get going again. I've placed these in you. You're the forgiven. I've given you my mercy. I understand. I mean, God does it all. Okay, so please, please, please. The sorriest thing is to listen to a lie. And that is a lie from the devil that you messed up. Duh, I know. Okay, the lie is you messed up and God's done with you. Amen. What Jack used to say, the thing that you've messed up will probably be the thing you're called to minister. The thing that you just blew and you get yourself in a good place will be the thing that you will be called to minister, okay, because you got it. You understand it and you've got great compassion because of that. So just want to pray for everybody and then praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Everybody ready for a better 2020? Yes. Amen. So if you're going to have a better 2020, we will do some things differently. Amen. Father, I thank you that you're incredible. You are love, you are forgiveness, you are mercy. You're just incredible. And I thank you, Father, that you have spoken to hearts, Father, on... And Holy Spirit, you continue to speak to our hearts. I don't think it's something you just, you know, right away. But Lord, where is it that we can do better for our next year? And Holy Spirit, you just, you know, help us make those adjustments, remind us. Amen. And I thank you, Father, we are always the forgiven. We are never tossed aside. And I thank you. I pray that everyone in this place might know in a greater way as they finish up this year and certainly for 2020, the amazing love that the Father has for you, regardless. that they might know this love, that they might feel safe in your love, that they might walk out this love like never before in 2020. I pray this for everybody in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. So, we're wrapping up. We don't have to sing. It's the most wonderful time of year, but we're wrapping up 2019. And I believe we will have a better year. Amen? Amen. Hey, one more thing I just want to say. Just, Father God, if there's somebody in this place and they have not had a relationship with you, I mean, a relationship with you where you know that God is your Father, Jesus is your Savior, the Holy Spirit's the best guy on the planet with you on this earth, that they don't know that and they are just this pulling on the inside. Can I say today is the day that the Lord is knocking at your heart saying, I have come for you. And there's nothing that you can do or have done that would disgust me, repel me. I am here. You just invite me in. So if there's anybody here today and you'd say, shh, I'm done doing done. And Jesus, I want you in my life. We just raise your hand. We're not going to embarrass you or anything, but we're just going to pray for you. So anybody here, just say, Jesus, I need you. Amen. Anybody? Praise God. I see that hand. You can put that down. Is there anybody else just saying, Jesus, shoo, I need you. I need your love. I just need all that I can get from you. Anybody else? Okay. I see that. Okay. So how about, let's all stand up and pray this prayer with me, okay? The Bible says, if you call on the name of the Lord, he'll come gushing in. It is so simple. You know, we make it really dumb, complicated. But if you ask Jesus to come into your life, he will transform you. And you may not look different, smell different, or anything else different, but different happens on the inside. The day you say, Jesus. Okay, so everybody say with me. I'm sorry. Father, I thank you for sending your son Jesus for me. I'm in need of Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need Jesus. So Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart, to come into my life. I accept you. I'm forgiven. I'm now a child of God. And your love fills me. Now, in Jesus' name, amen. Tell you what, one person, heaven goes bongos when someone says, Jesus, come into my life. Amen. So praise God. Hey, y'all, I love you. I'm seeing 2020 like way big. Tell me what you're hearing. Have a wonderful day. And if you prayed that prayer, I have something for you. Come up and see me. Otherwise, music, maestro.